It will help you de-stress your life if you can live what it is you believe. Do you know what it is you believe? At Daleville Christian Church, each week we have an affirmation of our faith taken directly from God's Word. So we have a better idea of what it is we believe, so we can live that and ask for help from our Lord to live that. This affirmation of faith today is from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the 20th chapter, the 1st through the 15th verses. This is Jesus speaking, and the little title above the chapter, those aren't scripture, I hope you understand. Those are from the editors of the Bible book itself. But the little title above it says, "The Parable of the Workers in the Vineyard." For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who were hired first came, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Did you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I want to give credit to the Bible study class now in progress on Wednesday evening for the message today. This is a passage that Bruce Wilkinson himself, our class presenter, through video, a passage that he shares as a part of the class on the life that God rewards. That's the title of his book, of which he is the author, A Life That God Rewards. Now, I've preached on this passage more than once over the last many years. I still believe that Jesus' words have something new to add to what has already been said over the many years. When I've preached on this before, I'm sure that I shared one of several traditional interpretations of Jesus' story. There are easily five or six traditional interpretations of Jesus' story, and when I say traditional interpretations, I mean that through 2,000 years, the church and its ministers have not varied greatly from the message in Jesus' story. And although there are five or six traditional interpretations, they're not all dramatically different interpretations. Just as we have four gospel books and one Lord Jesus Christ, here we have a story that Jesus tells, one story, and five or six understandings of what Jesus said. The only way that those interpretations differ is in emphasis. Each congregation can readily hear the emphasis that their pastor shares with them from the very same words of Jesus. That's okay. It's a part of the beauty of God's Word and why God's Word has endured, because it is always true to you and it is always true to every generation of believers. Since I covered some of those five or six traditional interpretations, we return to Jesus' story about the workers in the vineyard, and we will see once again, as modern readers often do, we send ourselves off in the wrong direction. And we send ourselves in the wrong direction in understanding the parable because we use an incorrect title. That happens when we talk about the prodigal son. Remember Jesus' story that we call the prodigal son? It's not a story about the prodigal son. Jesus' story is about a father with two sons, and mostly the story Jesus told was about the father, not the prodigal son. But we call it the story, the prodigal son, and send our attention in the wrong direction. Maybe when we're finished today, you will say to yourself, Jesus' story here is about the landowner, not the workers in the vineyard. Jesus' story begins and ends with the landowner. That would be a clue that Jesus' story is about the landowner. Remember your sophomore English class? So let's first watch the landowner for a moment. Jesus begins by saying, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard." So this is the beginning of the day, daybreak, that Jesus is talking about. This morning, today, in Israel, sunrise was 6:12 a.m. But February is not a month to spend in the field. By the end of May, sunrise in Israel is 5:30 a.m. So Jesus may well be thinking the hiring goes on around 6 a.m. Then Jesus states, about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. Again at 5 p.m., the landowner can still use workers and finds more. The landowner says, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." So the landowner has arranged for the first hires of the day to witness the payment of the last hires of the day. It would be usual to pay the first hires first, but the landowner instructs otherwise. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. but each one of them also received a denarius. There was a lot of grumbling. All paid the same, no matter when they went to the field. They grumbled against the landowner. The landowner apparently was present for the payout, although one commentator suggests that the landowner is not present, but because the workers are shouting at his house, the landowner comes out to answer their complaint, because the landowner himself answers in Jesus' story. I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? The last phrase is translated best by the Revised Standard Version, the New International Version retaining that translation, because Jesus has used an idiomatic phrase about the eyes. You can read it in the King James Version. But it's best translated and understood as the phrase, are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious because I am generous? So let's notice the landowner says six things. He says, I did you no wrong. He says, do you not agree? He says, take your money and go. He says, I choose to give. And then he says, am I not allowed to give? And then he asks, are you committing envy in your heart? Here's where our present Bible study class on Wednesday evening comes in handy. Bruce Wilkinson has pointed out that our Bible uses two different Greek words to talk about money and rewards. These workers have received their wages, what they earned for their labor. They received just compensation, the compensation they all agreed was right and correct at the beginning, and most of those same workers received more than what they earned. A bonus, we would call it. The Bible word would be reward. Jesus' story only asks us a question about the workers, or Jesus implies a question about the workers, namely, are we, the audience, like those first hired workers? Jesus asks the question. But what Jesus has told us about is God. And I hesitate to say it this way, but I'm still going to. What we could conclude about God from Jesus' story is this. God is just, but God is not always fair. And when God is not fair, you are the one who benefits. God is just, but God is not always fair. And when God is not fair, you are the one who benefits. God is just. The householder pays the agreed wage for the work. But as the workers discover, as they see the late hires paid, the payment isn't fair to the early workers, given the conditions that the early workers labored under. At least, the early workers don't think it's fair. Yet they all received what they thought they would receive, and most of them received more. This is the generosity of God. And the landowner asks, have you got a problem with that? In our class on Wednesday night, Bruce Wilkinson explains, and rightly so, that those who claim Jesus Christ as Savior will go to heaven. Whether you proclaimed Jesus Christ as Savior when you were 10 years old, as I did? Or if you were 63 years old and on your deathbed like a man I knew who died last December? We're both going to heaven. However, the Bible reminds us, Jesus told us, and the Apostle Paul wrote about it, Paul even looked forward to the more that some of us will receive in heaven at the last judgment. Many believers will receive more than heaven at the last judgment. It's the generosity of God. I began that Wednesday night class, the first session, explaining that the idea of rewards was a part of the Old Testament prophecies that the Messiah was going to bring. Not at Messiah's first coming, as wrongly understood, but at Messiah's second coming, at the end of all things. And I have the Bible references there for you in the sermon notes. Heaven is what we all know we shall receive for faith in Jesus. Then many of us will also receive a bonus, rewards. Now you may look up the word reward, but you might do better to look up the word recompense in the Bible. It's the same word as compensate. That's a better word because it simply means to repay, to requite, whatever was given, good or bad. We tend to think of rewards as a good thing, but people will be rewarded for the bad things they have done. But you see the misunderstanding. Recompense might be a word with a clearer meaning. No one's going to be rewarded, as we understand it, for bad behavior, but we will be fully compensated for bad behavior. We will be properly requited. We will get what we gave. Now, when many believers hear this, that there is a heaven and rewards, almost all of us say, but heaven is good enough for me. Heaven's all I ever wanted. Or if I'm being changed from glory to be like Jesus, what more could I possibly want? We're being changed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Apostle Paul says it. And you know, I understand those feelings. I've said those same things myself. But this is what I'm discovering. This isn't about us. This is about the Heavenly Father. This is who the Heavenly Father is. The Heavenly Father is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6, and you'll need the King James Version to see that word. The Heavenly Father is a rewarder. Now let me talk a moment about gifts and gift givers. I hope you know that not everyone can be a good gift giver. As Dr. Gary Chapman explains in his book on love languages, gift giving is a love language, one of five love languages. Not everyone can speak all five love languages well. But God does speak all five love languages well. God is a good gift giver. Jesus said so. Again, you might protest that you are not asking for anything more than heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, who paid our sin penalty so that we can go to heaven. But I'm reminding you, this isn't about us. It's about God. This whole thing is not about you asking anything at all. Notice in Jesus' story that none of the workers hired asked for a different pay scale, even though they worked in the heat of the day. The late called workers did not ask for the whole day's wages, and yet that is what the landowner gave them. Now, friends, we might claim that we know what we want and heaven is enough. And we might be right about ourselves in that regard. But the Heavenly Father knows us better than we know ourselves. We will be rewarded as our God, the rewarder, desires to reward us. My only experience I have of this is my parents knew me better than I knew myself at the age of 3.5. And at that age, I received a playset I didn't even know existed. But I have remembered that moment of that Christmas morning, the moment I saw that gift. So wonderful a gift. And for me at the time, it was the most fabulous object in the world. I didn't ask for that gift. And I've heard other hobbyists and collectors say the same thing about some of the toys they received as gifts. And they still remember that moment with a child's eyes, a moment of awe, a moment of delight, a moment they never knew existed. Until that moment. Friends, the Apostle Paul tells us that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Friends, we can't know what the Lord has in mind to give any of us as rewards. But be assured that the giving of the rewards will remind us that our God is a rewarder. It has been promised. It will happen. And together we will praise the Lord. Amen.